The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's been 28 years since the Suns made a finals appearance for the Bucks. 47 years, and their franchise player returns tonight.
Heaven now on earth, half a million on the watch. Three bands on the sweater just to let it watch.
Fires up a three. It's good! And the foul! Hold! Chris Paul has taken control of game one.
You can send it Bitcoin down to triple it with stock.
Paul on the drive. Chris Paul's first finals game has been a brilliant performance.
That man is Jalen Anthony Rose. I'm David Dowd and Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. Tell them what is it that we do.
We get the people.
Yes,
what
we do.
They want.
Game one of the NBA Finals was last night. You were there in the building as the Phoenix fans were electric watching CP3, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton, and others take game one. We're going to break down all the angles, no matter how small, but we start with the biggest story, the performance of Chris Paul. Jalen Rose, what do you think of CP3?
It was amazing to watch him go out and have back-to-back 30-point games in this year's playoffs. The first time he's done that all season. And how about the fact for me, Jacoby, this is my 19th consecutive year covering the NBA Finals on television. It's the biggest stage in basketball. I was really proud to see Giannis return and finish the game healthy. I was extremely proud to see Chris Paul do something that he doesn't do in the regular season. That's put up gaudy stats. The reason why he's been underappreciated by so many, besides just having the championship rings, is that in the regular season, he doesn't put up the art video game stats. So sometimes his impact can't be measured by numbers. And so when he gets in these games and he decides to score, it's incredible to watch him take over a basketball game and be so very effective, be so very efficient, and size up each opponent. It could be Lopez, I'm going to give you that work. It could be Bobby Portis, I'm going to give you that work. It could be Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, it doesn't matter. He was an equal opportunity employer. And his ability to score the basketball as well as drop dimes just unlocks the floor for a guy like DeAndre Ayton. As I see him streaking up and down the floor as a big man that can change ends and be agile, it has me thinking like our OG Tommy put on my heart. It reminds me of the Milwaukee Bucks when they added the big O. He was late in his championship. He was late in his career. He hadn't won a championship. They paired him with Kareem. Of course, Ayton is no Kareem. He's just a mobile big guy. And Chris Paul is a veteran point guard. And so all of a sudden, he's able to feed him. And you're going to see all of these stats about Ayton's points, his rebounds, his 80% from the floor. You're going to see CP3, 30-point games, and the number of points he had for a 36-year-old. You're going to see him, Devin Booker, and Ayton each combined for 81 points total. That's the most this season. And so when you're unlocking the floor like Chris Paul unlocking the floor, everybody gets a chance to feel good about their game. The ball has energy, and the Phoenix Suns now lead this series 1-0.
Everybody in Phoenix should feel good, but Jalen, let me tell you why the Milwaukee Bucks should also feel pretty good after that game last night. A gentleman by the name of Giannis Antetokounmpo, both you and I did not expect him to play, but when it was announced he was playing, I didn't know he was going to look like that. Like in the first half specifically, he looked like unhobbled, ready to play Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, the Bucks didn't really challenge. They got to down to like 7 or 8 in the second half, but you've got Giannis at what looks like close to full strength moving forward in the rest of the series. What do you think about Giannis's first half specifically?
I think he moved really well if you were watching the game, in particular vertically. Horizontally, he struggled a little bit. During dead balls, he hobbled a little bit. He limped a little bit. I watched his every move from the time he took the floor to warm up. I watched him in every timeout. And there were some lingering effects. You saw him miss a couple of bunnies, in particular one layup that he's used to dunking. But that chase down block was incredible because those are the kind of plays that he got injured on. Going up in traffic and having to land freely. I can't lie. I was disappointed the first play of the game that they tried to run a lob for Giannis. I'm like, what are y'all thinking? I'm like, Like, don't put him in that same action. But also, there's something to be said for that because it's almost like a boxer saying they're taking their first punch or a football player saying they're taking their first hit. I felt like after that, he felt more comfortable and confident to play his game. And so I agree with you. We get rewarded. And also, I want this for the Phoenix Suns. You know why? When you play against the Lakers without Anthony Davis, Denver without Jamal Murray, the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, there will be some people that act like they want to put an asterisk on this. But I'm just going to say divine intervention is now happening for Chris Paul. They're in the NBA Finals. Giannis has returned. Now he just needs some help. Where was Drew Holiday? I was disappointed in his game. And I know how much you like Drew Holiday as well. I was disappointed that he didn't show up and give me some offense yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Holiday to me is the true X factor in this series because you just don't know what you're going to get. You saw it in the Nets series too. It's just like some days he's going to have 20 and be extremely efficient. He's always there in the defensive end, but some days it looks like it did last night. Now, Jalen, while I was watching this game, one thing I was thinking, it almost looked like Chris Paul was playing with his food. It almost looked like when he was in the pick and roll, he could do whatever he wanted. Oh, you got Brook Lopez on me? I don't even have to take him to the hole. I can just do a little sidestep jump shot. And he could take it to the rack, too, if he wanted to. And he could also had Ayton on the lob. Whether it was Bobby Portis switched on him or Lopez dropping, whatever it was, it seemed like Chris Paul not only had the answer for it, but had any answer he wanted for it. What do you think about that?
You got to make an older player a driver. It's tougher to finish amongst those trees. He crossed Bobby Portis and got to the front of the rim. But you got to make that more of a diet. You can't allow him to yo-yo your big and then get into his rhythm 15 to 18 foot. He going to step back on either elbow and knock that down. You see that? That's a fat Joe. Like that's that. Lean back. Lean back. That's rhythm, dog. That's all he doing. And so I applaud Chris Paul's ability to get it in all phases. But you know what else I like, Jacoby?
What's that?
I like to watch people work the game. I like that there aren't five people standing around the three-point line launching fast as they can with 21 seconds to go on the shot clock. They're actually exhausting possessions and forcing somebody else to play D, forcing somebody else into a switch. Oh, you're going to show too high? You're going to throw the lob over the top to Ayton. And also, I have to give another shout out to two people. They share the same first name. Cam. Let's get a young fella some credit. Champagne and campaign. And Johnson be knocking down his corner threes, man. He hustled on D and he switched out on the perimeter, but he knocked down his corner threes. Both of those guys came in off the bench and they allowed the team to play a lot faster. We're going to talk about their big three. And of course, they're going to be the headliners. But when you at the game, you get a chance to see these guys and their true impact on what they've done for a team. So shout to Monty Williams and his coaching staff for the player development of those young guys.
Health has been the storyline throughout the entire playoffs, and it was a little bit the storyline yesterday. Not only did Sarge go down, which is bigger than people think, but after the game, Malika asked Chris Paul about his hand, and here's what he had to say. It's interesting.
Campaign and all the coaches been talking about us playing with pace.
Yeah.
I'm the old head that like to slow it down sometimes, but in this series, we got to play with pace.
And we saw you getting your hand wrapped up. Everything good? You feeling good for game two already?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There you go.
Jalen, you know I'm the senior broken nose analyst because of all my broken nose, but you've had a hand injury in the NBA. Are you concerned about Chris Paul's hand?
Broken hand, broken wrist. a plate and five screws in my hand currently as I broke my fourth metacarpal. The plate keeps this part of my hand together. Steph Curry had the same thing happen, but the new technology allowed him to go back in, have the pins removed, so 20 years after he's playing or 50 years after he's playing, he can actually have knuckles and use that part of his hand. For Malika to pay attention to what happened with Chris Paul, it's a classic example of what I mean. It's like being a former player. It's like you're really in the foxhole. When you're at the game, you're really seeing everything. So I get a chance to see every time Giannis wince or he limped or Chris Paul grabbed his hand. But that's not going to keep him out of the game. I'm not necessarily worried about it. He's overcome a shoulder injury. He's overcome COVID protocol. He's dealt with, watched other teams have injuries. He said he comes from a praying family, and he must do, because these playoffs been some divine intervention, playing against the Lakers without AD, playing against the Nuggets without Jamal Murray, playing against the Clippers without Kawhi. I believe this moment is for Chris Paul to seize his first championship, but one game at a time. This is going to be a long series, so buckle up, everybody.
And we will give some thoughts on game two, not just tomorrow, but later on in this show. But next, we'll be discussing the offseason that everyone's paying attention to. That of that man right there on the golf course, Aaron Rodgers. Will he be ready for week one? Does he even know when week one is? We'll let you know after this.
I'm living my best life.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, Aaron Rodgers is enjoying his offseason trips to Hawaii with his lady, played in the match yesterday, and here's what happened when they asked him about his future on the football field.
October 17th, Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, B.A., we'll see.
How about September 12th then? Will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
Jalen, you really think Aaron Rodgers doesn't know that the Packers season starts on September 12th?
He's looking over his shoulder for Khalil Mack or DeMario Davis. Like, I don't miss that life. I ain't trying to go to training camp. 15 plus years in, no guaranteed money on my deal, no extras. I'm at where I'm at, I'll be where I be. But my brother David Jacoby said it here first, and I'm riding with you, so give him his props. I believe you, dog. I believe you that he'll probably be there week one. As I see his tone start to change, I start to believe what you're gonna say is accurate.
I think he'll be there week one. I think he has no interest in sweating through training camp and going through all the drills and spending a month away from his lady just to get ready for week one. In his head, he's been ready for week one because he's been through all the training camps the past 14 years. I mean, look at him. Why would you go to training camp when you go to Hawaii with your fiance and Miles Teller? Why would you do that? Jalen.
Who want to go to Hawaii? It ain't Detroit.
I have some news about the State University outside Detroit in Ann Arbor. Michigan Wolverines basketball is going to return Hunter Dickinson and transfer Devontae Jones. They have moved out of the NBA draft pool to return to Michigan along with the number one recruiting class. Jalen Rose.
Juwan is doing a terrific job of covering both bases. It's getting the number one recruiting class, but also doing a great job of nurturing in transfers. Like, usually it'd be one or the other. He's doing a great job of juggling both. And welcome to the family, Devontae Jones. Welcome back, Hunter Dickinson. I'm a season ticket holder, as you know, a proud alum. And I'm really excited about not only this year's team, but what Juwan is going to be able to do for the duration of his career while he's in Ann Arbor.
Jalen. I'm going to a game with you this year. I'm going to Ann Arbor for the first time this year. I can't wait.
Yes.
One thing that has also changed in the world of collegiate athletics is athletes can now profit from their name, image, and likeness. We've heard a lot about potential deals, but this one is interesting in Miami, where a gym is offering Hurricanes football players, every single one on the roster, $500 a month in an endorsement deal. What do you think about this potential format where someone gives everybody some money?
I think somebody's going to look at the television screen and say, what is Jalen Rose doing throwing up to you? Google it. That's that right there. Those my guys, 80s, Benny Blaze, Warren Sapp, Michael Irvin, like those my guys, Edgerrin James.
So it's only right
that the U has an opportunity for these name, image, and likenesses, not only for the gym $500, but what, he got a steak deal right there? That's a real
pork chop
right
there. Yeah, he got a butcher shop deal. If you put him up, he's got a butcher shop deal, and he's one of the Miami Hurricanes. And one of the things that got me thinking is, imagine if Jalen could do something similar when he was in college, and we decided that Jalen would be the Detroit Lobster House representative.
But the only difference is, both of us got wine hanging up. I would probably have 40 ounces hanging up at that point in my life. That's
those
before are the dentist. That's before the dermatologist, as you see.
those are buoys, not wine bottles, but I understand the sentiment. Jalen, I have some sad news about the Olympics. We all know what happened to Sha'Carri Richardson. However, she was able to run in the 4x100 if they named her to the team. They have not. And that, frankly, really disappoints me. I feel like she should have an Olympic experience. The suspension is over. She's the fastest runner at 100 meters, so she should be running fast during a 4x100 meter race during the Olympics. What are your thoughts?
The new era Flojo, I'm rooting for this queen to follow in those footsteps. And here's what I say. I'm glad I've been on this earth long enough to watch the name, image, and likeness rules change for collegiate athletics. I remember so many fans and media, even those that now feel different, once felt that we should just shut up and be happy that we have a scholarship. That's one thing. Glad I seen that change. The other thing, I'm glad to see marijuana rules continue to lessen, the restrictions continue to lighten in professional sports. And the third thing is adult entertainment. All of those things in our country that used to be criminalized or seemed like to be taboo, but knowing that all adults still do them, we're gonna look back at her being left off of this team now because they had two spots they could have gave her, from what I'm mistaken. They did not choose to give her the spot because of her test. And as I mentioned before, she lost her mom. I'm pretty sure she's dealing with a lot of pain, depression, and anxiety. You know how I know? Because I just lost mine on February 2nd at 8:15 a.m. And she's a young person. And so I understand that she wasn't going to be able to run the 100. Okay. But to keep her off the relay list, I felt like that was just mean-spirited based on her test. I don't think she deserved that. But this is going to be a triumph for her. Use this setback for a setup. This stumbling block is going to set her up for some greatness in the future of her career.
I absolutely agree. I feel like if they suspend her for a month, she should be able to run after that month, and I feel like she's being held back from doing so by the people that selected the team. Jalen, game one was last night, but game two is tomorrow night, and we will offer our thoughts on game two of the NBA Finals right after this. Don't miss it. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN News. Thank you for watching Jalen and Jacoby on television, but don't forget the experience does not end here. We always have exclusive content you can only get on the podcast every single day and on Saturday as well. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. As game one is in the rearview mirror and the Suns have a 1-0 lead, we turn our attention to game two. My first question is, what do you expect from former two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo in game two?
Continued aggression, attacking the bucket, and being more confident after returning in game one, when if you see the injury, I would have believed it would have taken the swelling and the pain a lot longer than it did to go away. And a sense of urgency that they understand just winning game two allows them to have home court advantage. Him and Drew Holiday playing together better, more pick and roll actions, more drag screens and transition, allow Drew to find himself to get some points in the paint. Those two, along with Lopez and Portis, must find ways to get points in the paint.
Jalen, I noticed something during game one, and Tommy, I want you to show those free throws again. When the crowd was counting and he shot when they said 10, He made it almost every time. Listen, look, it's almost like they gave him a rhythm. Like, this used to get in his head, but now it's like they almost give him a countdown, and he shoots at 10. He made two in a row, and then he shot at 11 and missed. I think this is completely flipped, and the fans are actually helping him. Am I crazy?
Or you could just literally flip it and start counting backwards. 15, 14, 13, 12. If you want to mess with his mind, that may be something that they want to consider. But also, you were right about Devin Booker. I thought about you, David. He came out. He was aggressive in the first half. He was getting buckets. He and CP3 were scoring and assisting on basically everything that the Phoenix Suns did in the first half. He wasn't wearing a mask.
No, he's not going to wear a mask. But, Jalen, I'm telling you something. There is going to be a big Devin Booker game. I think CP3 was just so hot in the third quarter that it was like it would be silly to sort of have Devin Booker even attempt to shoot or score in that. It was just his time in the third quarter. But Booker in the first half looked great, and I think we will get a big Booker game. But, Jalen, I think the Bucks take game two. We're going to get into it tomorrow, but I think the Bucks take game two. I really do. What are your thoughts?
I wouldn't be surprised. They did a good job of scoring on and against P.J. Tucker. They started him on Chris Paul, and on paper, that worked out really well because it's like force meeting force. But in the league, it's so easy to create switches. It's so easy to create mismatches. They ultimately ended up getting Tucker switched on Booker where he got in foul trouble, and then they got him on Ayton where Ayton was scoring on him. So they are going to have to do a better job of corralling that guy and forcing him into help.
Great point, Jalen Rose. We'll get you ready for game two tomorrow. Have a great evening. We always say, give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content of podcast listeners. See, the podcast listeners, they get the real. You know, what you said about
the
coaching
real
yesterday, Jalen, what you said about coaching and Nate McMillan and how you really coach like 7 through 12 or 7 through 15 on the roster. Like, I thought that was really good insight that you can only get Anthony Rose. You can only get that. You can't plan that. And that's why I love doing the pod with you. Only spontaneous stuff. Some of your best stuff, it just comes off the cuff spontaneously, like the Mark Aguirre story when you got elbowed and you tried to take your teeth out. So, Jalen, we got a couple things I want to discuss with you. Number one, former Piston, Andre Drummond.
Detroit basketball.
Comes to the Lakers. However, at the end of this season, he's a free agent. He said that he would have been dominant down low if only he got more minutes. What do you think about that statement and his future in the NBA?
I feel like he still has a future in standing and value in the NBA because he can grab boards. He has a soft touch around the hoop. The one thing I want to see for him, and this happened in Cleveland when basically they didn't play him because they wanted to trade him. And then this happens in L.A. when you go from playing and starting like in a team like Detroit and being an all-star to like being a reserve and getting DNPs. The thing I noticed about my brother, and shout to his mom, and bigger than basketball, has continued to be a supporter of JRLA. And I'm forever grateful for my NBA brothers and family and people like yourself that continue to support our nonprofit project. But with that being said, I seen he lost his legs. They look a little spaghetti. And that's that happens when, you know, it's a player's falling down a lot. Like, usually, especially when you have his size, he's able to get the ball in traffic, spread out, be big, and just have people falling off his elbows and knees like flies and finish the play. I noticed that he started falling down a lot. Started doing flip shots a little more than he did early in his career. And it's not that he still can't get it done. It's that he now has to get in tip-top shape, and he also has to reinvent his game as he starts to age. That just happens to players. One of the things I was noticing, and this is a different example than Andre Drummond, but again, the coach is responsible for your minutes. If the coach doesn't play you, you can always say it was because of the coach. But the bottom line is they just didn't win. They got bounced in the first round. They were playing without Anthony Davis. It was a different dynamic of he, Gasol up front. They just lost to a squad that's in the NBA Finals that might win the NBA Championship. And LeBron James was hobbled too. That is what it is. But another thing I noticed that really helped the Phoenix Suns in the previous series, so many times, Paul George did it the most is when somebody takes a shot, the shot gets contested, that person falls after he misses the shot. So here's some math.
Crowder did it last night.
If you're gonna take 15 or 20 shots though, and you're gonna do that like four times, that's potential for the other team to get 12 points in transition, shorthanded. Like that's big.
Especially when it's like top of the key. Like if you're in the corner, it's not so bad. If you're like top of the key or like kind of like wing top of the key angle, like you're supposed to be the number one person back.
It's like getting the 400 relay and you got a parachute on your back and you are already trailing. It's like, yo. And so I still think there's value with Dre, and I got something for you. Real simple. He need to go back to Detroit.
Oh no. No, Jalen.
He need to go back to Detroit.
Okay. Let's walk through this. You watched him play for the Pistons for how many years? What, 4 or 5? Maybe longer?
Yes.
6, 7?
Yes.
And you want that experience again, Mr. Rose? I mean, listen, I love the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy support. I know that that'd be a byproduct of this. But Jalen, you want to see that again? You want to go back to that?
Fam.
That's what you want to see?
Let me tell you something, fam. You saw it this year with Blake Griffin. You're going to see it next year with Kevin Love. As you start to get older and your roles change, people start to appreciate you different versus being the best player on the team. You look at Anthony Davis different versus in LA than you did in New Orleans. And poor New Orleans, I'm looking at the floor. I'm like, y'all lost Monty, Drew Holiday, and Chris Paul? Man, Zion could use a guard, right? They could use a coach. They just changed their coach, right? Right, man. Crazy. But his role would be different. He wouldn't be required to give us 18, 14, and 38 minutes. His role would be different. And you can always use productive bigs. He's going to end up somewhere. I look at moves like this. I'm watching you, Masai. Ujiri. I'm watching you.
I know.
Because he definitely has value. And if you look at the game every night, dudes getting bigger. These dudes getting bigger. And when Giannis and Lopez come to town in the East, you'll need to get some big bodies and some fouls. When Joel Embiid, Tobias, and Ben Simmons, just big-bodied dudes, you need more big bodies to contest at the hoop. Look at Clint Capella. Look at all the big bodies that the Hawks had up front. They had Collins, the young fella from USC. They have Gallo, like all of these 6'9", 6'10", and above guys. And so he falls into line with that. Guys like your Knicks have Nerlens Noel, for example, right?
And don't forget Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson was hurt. Everyone forgets about Mitchell Robinson. Like, he would have been very helpful in that Hawks series.
Correct. And so you need those big guys that can just do some things. And it's just a big man's game. So I understand that he's upset at the coach, but he got to do like the other guys I mentioned, go somewhere else, reinvent himself, and recreate his value like CP3 did after he left the Clippers and the Rockets.
Okongwu, who you're talking about in Atlanta, who gave them some good minutes, very promising young player for Atlanta, who might be replacing John Collins moving forward, because I don't know if John Collins is going to be in the Hawks jersey next year. And Okongwu gave him enough to look at to maybe have the confidence to not, in their mind, overpay John Collins. But I love what I saw from John Collins this playoff.
Well, they draft your replacement. They draft your replacement. And in Indiana, there were times I started at small forward. There were times I started at shooting guard, and there were times I started at point guard the 6 years I was there. And you know what I noticed in 3 consecutive drafts? They drafted Al Harrington, Jonathan Bender, and Jamal Tinsley. All 3 people that play positions that I play. So you know what that means? My time is expiring.
So on draft night, so I feel like this will relate this to John Collins. On draft night, you know, when John Collins sees that they draft Okongwu, And they're similar, not the same, but similar. How does he feel?
I need to go out and ball, and I'm going to have to get my money elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just the dynamics of a game in a salary cap-driven sport. That's all. It's not that he didn't have a really good season. I like him. He's been on our show.
I love him in the playoffs. Yeah.
He did a great job of increasing his value with the Hawks. But he didn't need to play well this season or play well in the playoffs for them to draft his replacement.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about, right? So in other words, he could still be hanging from the rim and they could be in the finals. They already got his replacement. That's how pro sports work when it's a salary cap. When Lloyd Pierce saw them hire Nate McMillan, hourglass, flip it over. Just gets better with time. So Collins, I'm pretty sure, understood that just like I understood that. But you still got to be a pro. And I love those guys. Each of them, when they drafted them, those are my guys still to this day. Shout out to Al Harrington and Viola.
Yeah, I loved what I saw from Collins in the playoffs specifically. Like, he was hitting his open threes. He was doing some mid-range stuff, shooting over bigs. He was rim running. Like, he showed a lot of offensive and defensive versatility that whatever team he goes to is going to be very happy with him. Jalen, imagine. I need your focus on this one because it has to do with pooping. And I know you love to talk about pooping. Imagine you wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning.
You made me feel like Quincy.
Quincy loves to talk about pooping too. That's what my two best friends, Jalen Rose and Quincy Jacoby, have one thing in common. Love to talk about pooping. 6 a.m. in the morning.
I've heard you say that to him before. That's funny.
Because he was talking about pooping when he was four. I'm like, now it's like 4 years later. It's like, dog, like, I thought you were going to grow out of this phase, man. It's not funny anymore, dog. Old. You're like my wife's height, dog.
Tell him when I come for the draft. Tell Q, tell the girls, tell wifey, we got to hit your crab spot when I come back to NY for the draft. Love that seafood spot.
Love that spot. Shout out to the boil.
Cash only.
So, Jay. Gentleman wakes up in Australia, 65 years old. You know, can't control the bowels like he used to. So he's got to go at 6 a.m. in the morning. He's got to go. He sits down on the toilet. No big deal. He's happy. He feels a pinch on his genitalia. Weird. Doesn't think much of it. Looks down. 11-foot python has bit him in the genitalia. Come to find out, the python escaped from his neighbor's home, potentially came through the drains, and bit him in the genitalia. Let me ask you just a rapid fire, like three things I want you to address. Number one, how do you ever sit down on the toilet again if you're him? Number two, when you see the neighbor who let the python escape, you find out that neighbor has 11 other creatures like the python in their crib. How do you even look them in the face? And number three, is this going to affect your habits? Like, are you gonna feel a little way when you sit down the toilet moving forward? Please address senior pooping expert of Jalen and Jacoby, Mr. Rose.
Well, as any human being, in particular a male, anything that unkindly pinches your genitalia, it's going to affect your mental and your psychological and your emotional state forever.
I'm glad you said unkindly. I love you said unkindly because there's two categories.
Correct.
Kindly and unkindly.
Hey, I'm horrified hearing this story. So just think about how you feel when you watch somebody get kneed in the midsection. This story makes me feel like that times a million. Like, I'm going to check every toilet. Horrified. I can't lie. When you told me that story, forget checking the toilet. I checked my package. I wanted to make sure everything was intact. I was like, all right, that's the first thing. The second thing, and I guess we know way too much about these people's lives. Dwight Howard, for example, when he was in Houston, he had like 12 snakes that lived with
snakes.
Him.
Mad snakes.
Right, of all things. Snakes, whatever make you happy. I ain't here to judge.
So imagine you're Dwight Howard's homeboy, and you're playing the league, and you land in Houston. He's like, "Don't stay at the hotel. Stay at my crib. We'll get it in. We'll have some fun." And then you get there, and you find out that there's 12 snakes in the crib. Do you sleep at night?
No, because locking the door ain't gonna matter. because, you know, snakes are slithery, you know, so they can get under a door and whatever.
If
so
they go through the drains.
Yeah, this is, yeah, this.
Jay, that, like, let me tell you a quick story, quick
and,
story.
And the last
story.
Thing, he need the neighbor, one of them got to move. Or
yeah,
one
that's
of
what
them
I'm saying.
Move.
Like, I'm looking at that neighbor like, you got 11 snakes. You can't be coming through my toilet and biting me in the junk. Like, control your snakes. If my kids are loud, I feel bad for the neighbors. I apologize. I try to discipline my kids, even though my kids are well-behaved and they complain too much, but whatever. But, like, if my snake, I don't even. One of y'all got to move. Like, one of y'all got to move. I agree. It's either you or it's me, but it's probably going to be you and your snakes. So, quick story. I remember one time I went with my friend, Shaka Ramsey, one of my best friends from high school. Shout out to Shaka forever. Me and him went out with his lady at the time. We were getting it in. Back when we used to go to nightclubs and stuff, and we were in Boston, went to a nightclub. And I come home, and his girlfriend had a pet ferret. So I'm lying down in the bed, right? I'm by myself in the room, lying down the bed.
Hold on. Wait. Hit the brakes. I'm from the northwest side of Detroit. I do not know what a ferret is.
Okay. Imagine like a weasel, but it's a little hairier. It's like a bigger rat with more hair and looks cuter. And it's got like a nicer tail.
I know what
tail.
Rats and roaches are.
Yeah. It's like imagine a rat, but like dressed up for like a formal dance.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a good looking rat, basically.
Right,
like the difference between a squirrel and a rat, just like a little bit of hair. You know what I mean? And a cuter face.
Gotcha.
So this glorified rat. I know she had a pet ferret, but I assume that thing wasn't like running around the apartment. I'm lying down in bed, feel something like kind of tugging at the blanket. Gets underneath the blanket. I'm like, what is going on? The ferret got in the room and was up in my bed. And now that I was like 2 a.m, I can't sleep for the rest of the night. When your ferrets run around. No.
I agree with you, and thank you for sharing that story. And Project Pat, who's the best of the best at all things J&J, one of the things being social, I must ask a question to the audience. Jacoby just reminded me of something. This didn't necessarily happen to me. I wouldn't allow this to happen to me, actually. But I know people have to deal with this circumstance, and you and your pet ferret story remind me of this. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you respond? You're in the bed. You're having relations.
Oh God, don't get fired.
You're getting sensual, sexual.
Oh, you're gonna have to pay for my kids' college.
And the person's pet is also in the bed.
You gotta go. No, this ain't a threesome, dog. This ain't a threesome.
How do you guys respond to that?
I don't feel comfortable. That's distracting. That's killing the vibe. Don't you got a door to the bedroom? The dog or cat can go outside the door. We close the door. Like, what is this? We don't need voice. I'm an exhibitionist.
He said it ain't a threesome.
The dog wants to get cucked. No, especially a barking dog. Or it also depends on proximity. Like, imagine the dog is mad close, like a foot, 2 feet. Like,
rubbing all up against.
Yeah, if you got a big mansion, it's like on the other side of the room, not paying attention. That's fine. But if it's like looking and interested, that's killing the vibe.
Oh, man, standing like, there like double dutch, like, where can I get in, huh?
Yeah. it's not what I meant by doggy style, all right? It's not what I meant by doggy style. We got to stop before we get fired. Play a voicemail. Save our jobs.
What up, doe? Jalen Jacoby, it's your boy Matt from Philly. Shout out Reg. I got a soft move or boss move question for you about pickup basketball. So I guess this one goes to Jacoby. Recently playing in a pickup game, we'll call it mid-30s aged guys. One man kept getting to the basket every play. Game was on the line. They fouled him, wouldn't let him get a bucket. Eventually, the foul started getting harder, and eventually, my man who was getting fouled decided to swing back. Next thing you know, fight breaks out, and game over. The question is, soft move or boss move on both sides, fouling every time with the game on the line and the response, fighting in a pickup game for mid-30-year-olds men. Appreciate the love. Keep giving the people what they want. And I'm from Philly, and just so you know, I still got everybody out here saying, what up, Bill? It's catching on. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
What up, though, Matt from Philly? Appreciate the call, Matt. Senior pickup analyst David Jacoby is here, and there's a lot that I have to say that's not involved in this. There's a lot of context I want to know. Are we at the park? Are we playing against strangers? What's the score? They got game point. Is it like, let's say you're playing to 11. If it's like 10-3, soft move. If it's 10-10, I'm fouling you every single time. Every single time. And one thing is how many people got next? If there's like 30, 40 people waiting for next, I'm fouling you every time. And I will foul you, especially on game point. And I will also say, be like, hey, it's game point. You know what I mean? Like, I'm different. Once someone says game point, I just change. Like, no. Buckets become 50% harder to come by. And also, if you're that player, how many times are you going to keep doing this? Like, you know what I mean? How many times are we talking? 3 times or 10 times? Like, yo, pull up. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to hit a jump shot too. But my number one thing is the score to me is important. How many people got next is important. And whether or not you're playing with strangers is important. And that is also the thing about me. Okay, I'll tell another quick story. It's got to be quick because we're about to run out of time. There was a fight that broke out. Two guys were nose to nose at a pickup game, right? And then there was a push. And it looked like it started to get serious, right? So I grabbed one of them to hold him back, actually hold him back. Except, like, I'm not going to tackle a dude. I don't even know this guy, right? So then he breaks out from my grip and he throws a right hook that lands square on the nose of the other dude. And the other dude got bubbled. Like, I can't see your eye bubbled, right?
Wow.
Now, Jalen, I'll get back to your answer, Matt. But Jalen, I felt kind of guilty afterwards. I felt kind of guilty. Like, I probably could have held him back better. Like, this dude just kind of broke out of my grasp and then bubbled this other guy. What percent, 0 to 100, am I responsible for that guy getting bubbled?
So, thank you for the call. We appreciate the love. I have a lot of things to say about what Jacoby just said. You're exactly right, Jacoby. You ask all of the perfect questions. That's why you're the senior analyst. No, you stuck the landing. You're Dominique Dawes. You stuck the landing on that. Mary Lou Retton. I got a couple of things also I want to add to that. That you asked. You asked, what about the player that keeps getting fouled? Jalen Rose just entered the chat. Because I've been that guy for a really long time on a lot of different levels, playing at a lot of different places. And it depends on the conditions. We already talked about this. If it's a lot of people outside, if it's double rims, I ain't shooting nothing but a layup.
Mm-mm.
Period. It's a lot of people waiting. I ain't taking a layup.
If there's a lot of people waiting, everything changes. Everything changes with a lot of people waiting.
Now, as that player that wanna keeps driving to the basket, you still gotta get a shot going towards the hoop. It don't mean you're gonna get a layup off the backboard or a finger roll in front of the rim, but you at least gotta get like a 5-footer or an 8-foot shot.
Trae Young floater.
Yeah, you got to get a little something to add to it. But here's the other thing about the actual fight. Soft move. Pickup game fight, soft move. Because here's what I learned a long time ago as I was a sending young ball player. There were the people that were like myself that were trying to take the game serious, trying to improve. You know, not necessarily trying to show up the people they were playing against. But then there's the people that you play against, they got to live in this hood. And they see the crowd cheering for you and people laughing because you scoring on them and stuff like that. And those dudes, you start talking trash to them, they'll go pop the trunk on you. And so how many times you've been out there playing ball and it's that one dude out there or that two dudes out there that everybody kind of know, It's like Obama when you go to the White House. It's like, well, you can't really push that guy, really foul that guy, because it's going to turn into a fight or it's going to turn into an altercation.
I played at this one court, and I was in L.A., and my friends visit from New York. They're like, all right, we're going to go play at the court. Let me just tell you, there's this one dude, and he's new, so he's going to try to test you. Just don't pay him no mind, all right? Just don't pay him no mind. And then once it happens, I have to pull my friend aside and be like, remember what I told you earlier? I was like, remember what we talked about? There's not going to be any fights here. He's just trying to get in your head, trying to be the silverback gorilla, the alpha male. Just let him have that. We'll win the game. Just let him do his little thing. He's always saying that because we're giving him buckets. But one thing I want to say about this particular thing, Matt, from Philly.
And I got to ask you a question about the fight. I do blame you for letting him go.
Okay, yeah, I deserve that. I didn't let him go. Yeah. First of all, let him go isn't the right thing, but I didn't try my hardest to hold him back. Because I feel like the
this
other
is
dude
the
was
only
like,
reason
oh, he's
why
being held
I played
back.
You. First off, no physical altercation should be taking place unless you're the MMA or you're in boxing, in particular, some basketball game. But if there is going to be an altercation and you decide to interject yourself and hold back one of the combatants, you got to try to do that until the thing gets, you know, a little more civil.
Yes.
You can't do it while the
person
while the person is at their height of being upset.
I'm talking about it like 15 years later. Of course, I feel bad. I want to end this pod with one thing that I want to say to Matt, because this has happened to me before. The fight happens. People talk about what they're going to, who and what they're going to go and get. And they talk trash about next time I see you and this
back.
And that.
I'll be
yeah,
back.
This and that, all of that stuff, right? But then, like, it starts to, people start walking out the fence and things like that. I'm a dude on the side and be like, well, who's got next then? You know what I mean? I'm like, well, that game never really finished. So is it like a new 10? Or are we gonna, like, do we take free throws? Like how? I came here to play ball, not to come to a boxing match. Like, how? Let's work this out as a collective, because I feel like I should have next. I've definitely been that dude.
That Jacoby and Demetrius just said it. That is so cultural, dog.
Why is that cultural? I'm trying to play basketball. I don't care about y'all.
I'm going
to
tell you.
I don't know y'all.
Let me answer the question. Have you seen my favorite basketball movie, and I'm being sarcastic, of all time, and I'm going to say this 500 times, Above the Rim?
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
And you remember when Wood Harris came to the court with Birdie looking for Tommy Shepard, ready to spray anybody that was in sight?
Yes.
Black people, when we know somebody has the potential to go get a gun and do that, all one person has to do is start running, and we're going to scatter like the herd. So that's why you're there with next, because we know that person might come back and shoot up the whole gym or shoot up the whole court.
I put my shorts on. I put my shoes on. I left the house. I'm playing basketball. I'm not going home without the sweat.
No.
I'm not going home without the sweat.
I'm out of here for the day. We live to see another day, dog. We go somewhere
else.
We will
also live to see another day here on Jalen and Jacoby, because we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
All I know is one of the favorite things I've ever heard on this show is that was not my definition of doggy style.
I forgot I said that. I said it 5 minutes ago.
We're not done, I don't think. We're not done, I don't think. I don't believe that we're done.
Executives don't listen to the podcast, dog. They don't listen to the podcast.
Okay, so I'll say, I don't believe we're done. Got to give the people.